Hello, everybody. This is Dane Gentry with the Standing Back Up podcast. Today, I'm here with my special guest, Mr. Donald Dunn. He's an Army veteran. First and foremost, thank you for your service, my friend.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about different things. I think mostly one thing we're going to be talking about is suicide, man, with our veterans. And that's big on our hearts as well. So, introduce yourself, man. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Like you said, I am Army veteran, retired in 2014. I spent 68 months deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Bosnia. Since then, I've started a podcast after retirement called Stories with Donald Dunn, Spirits and Stories with Donald Dunn, and a nonprofit that we're building called Heroes Voice Media Foundation. So that takes up about 90% of my time.
Yes, sir. I'm sure it does, man. And again, thank you for your service. We have I don't like to call him my stepson, but my stepson is in the Marines at this time. He's been in now for a couple of years. He's still at Camp Lejeune right now. In the mechanic field, I guess they got him in now. He was going to try and do something else, but I guess he didn't meet the qualifications. But
that was my field. I was a diesel mechanic for my 20 years.
Okay, man. Did you get hurt over there?
No, not physically. There was a lot of close encounters and things that make you wonder how the hell you survived it. But no, thank God I definitely came back physically unhurt.
Man, yeah, I know them. I can only imagine the mental thing, man. I've never been in that situation, of course. And military never was a thing that was really. Well, at the end of the day, I don't think I really had any dreams when I was young. I was on drugs so young that it kind of overshadowed everything. Well, tell us about your foundation and things you're trying to do with this, man.
Okay, so like you said earlier, suicide is a big thing. When I got out of the military, I was definitely a shell of a person. I still struggle. I still got good days and bad days, just like everybody else. But what I found was through podcasting, it turned out to be one of the best therapies I ever had. Talking to the VA and dealing with the VA didn't really work for me. We started this podcast. Originally, it was called Two Drunk Dudes in a Gun Room. And it was me and my old first sergeant. And the reality of it really was always trying to do is bring our old soldiers back into the fold. So we had people to talk to and we kind of gave a little bit of advice once a week. And then we did a Facebook Live. It really wasn't even designed to be a podcast, so to say. We filmed it in his gun room where we built guns and reloaded ammo. And we both liked to drink. And so that's where the name came from. And I don't know, probably about 3/4 of the way through season one, man, I realized that I was kind of feeling a little bit better. I was starting to talk about things that I never even talked to my family about. I realized that it was kind of a form of therapy. And so after season one, my buddy dropped off and I just continued it. And it grew. It turned into me coming across a bunch of veteran musicians that were trying to make it in the industry music. And they couldn't get traction. I mean, it's tough, right? You know, podcasting, yeah. It's hard to get downloads. It's hard to get your time in the spotlight. And so I started a radio station, that played nothing but music for, that were veteran musicians trying to make it, you know, not George Straits and the Elvises and people that served but had already made it. These were unsigned, artists that were literally, whether they knew it or not, was using music as a form of therapy. I mean, they were telling their stories and documenting their war through their songs.
Right.
And I thought that was important. As we've seen lately, how fast your history can be changed, erasing school books and getting rid of historical monuments and stuff like that. Nobody knows what our story is going to be told in 50 years from now. And I think that is extremely important to be documenting as much as you can get on the internet and books and any other form of media, what we've seen, what we went through, and how we're feeling. And so that's what Heroes Voice Media Foundation is doing. We are helping veterans get into the media industry, whether it be podcasting, music, writing, and we're helping people get their books published. We're helping people get the equipment to podcast, training to keep going, showing them ways to get quick wins so they don't quit. The idea is to keep them talking, keep them telling their story. It's not that we think if you podcast, you're going through some sort of rehab and you're going to be all better when you're done. That's not what we're saying. But for me, halfway, well, three quarters of the year, almost to the end of season one or two, I found a great support group that I joined. And I found that through podcasting and showing up in my Facebook feed and everything else. That's how I found it. And it's because I was searching this type of stuff for my show that turned out helping me quite a bit. They're called the Warrior's Way Mindset. They're not a nonprofit, they're a for-profit company, but it worked out great for me. And it's helped me quite a bit with my temper and stuff like that. And it's allowed me to focus on myself. So I think it's important that we are, however we are expressing ourselves, that we encourage the veteran community to keep doing it, because the alternative is isolation and not talking. And anybody that's gone through depression can tell you that it may seem weird that you just can't snap out of it. You just can't wake up one day and you're saying life is good. That little voice, that demon, as we like to call it, you're fighting your demons. That demon will beat you down. I don't care how mentally strong you are. It will have you believing the things that you are telling yourself.
Yeah. And
you're not going to get out of that alone. It takes a lot to show somebody there is an alternative, and it's not an easy road.
You know, I have demons too. Mine are different, you know, a lot of the things that you're saying, I can relate in a sense. You know, I can't completely relate because I've never been in war and these kind of things, but I had these same kind of demons, man, for a long time. And, when I first got sober, I was rocking right along, man. Thought everything was great. And was going, and all of a sudden I went to bed one night, fine. I woke up the next morning, I was a different man. And here we went down this rabbit hole of something I never saw coming. And it was depression and everything that you're talking about now. And I was on the brink of suicide. You know, it's something that's kind of hard to talk about now, but it's the reality. And I talk about it the same reason that you do, because we need to do this. And that's what I do this podcast for. This is kind of my program too, you know, for recovery and all these different things. And so I can completely relate, man. It definitely helps. It definitely does help.
You know, it's tough, man, because the journey that I have been on has taught me one thing, right? Trauma is trauma. I always looked at the veteran suicide, American soldier problem, right? And I had a guest on my show that I talk about all the time, because he really changed my perspective. He opened me up, because he was a British Army soldier. And at the very end, our podcast was really about comparing differences, you know, from their military to our military. And at the end, he invited me to come on his show. He said, just so you know, my show is more mental health. I said, oh, you have a mental health podcast? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, we're trying to stop all of our veterans from killing themselves. And man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, you mean this ain't just an American problem? This is a whole nother problem. And the more you realize it, man, if you can get past some of your hatred, because for the veteran, that's when you really boil it down to, you have that hatred during war. You know, you hate the enemy, and you have to have that mindset to survive and make it through it. And at no time have I ever wondered, man, I wonder if the Taliban guys were over there killing themselves. My mind just couldn't even, at that point, couldn't even think like that. They were still the enemy. And I still got those resentments. You know, there's a lot of trauma inside me that still holds that hatred. But when you think past that, it's a human problem. I don't care if it's rehab from drugs, gambling, pornography. Depression is depression is depression. And yes, and yes. It all hits the same way. It starts by taking your identity, taking your confidence. And for men, that is extremely important. You know, if you don't have a purpose, you don't have identity, and you don't have your confidence, you become a shell. And that is what I think people don't relate to, is you just can't, when you start believing it yourself, there's no coming out of it yourself. It takes a friend to reach in and grab a hold and help you through these things that can look past the fact that they can't see what's wrong.
Right. You're right. And that's, you know, you said the confidence thing with us. When I say us, I mean people in addiction or people who have went to prison and all these different things. Your confidence is gone, man. You know, you don't think that you can accomplish anything in the world. And we think that because we tell ourselves that. We tell ourselves we can't because society says we can't. And maybe your upbringing said that you can't. Maybe your parents told you this or whatever. And you have to get that word out of it. You have to take that can't out of it because you can. And that's another reason why I do this, because, you know, if you went back and looked at my story, by all accounts, society would say I would never make it, you know, and I do. And I do it every day, and I am. And that's what I want people to know. And it's the same thing. I hadn't really thought about how the two would relate with the veterans and this, but man, it really does a lot.
It does. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all humans. You know, the symptoms may be different, the urges, the triggers, all those things may be different. You know, you know, for me, I struggle with simple shit, seeing garbage in the middle of the road. You know, instantly makes me think IED, and I just, at all costs, I try to avoid it. I don't run over roadkill. It's just for me, that's one of those things. For you, it may be a different trigger, but the base root of the problem is still the same. It's the way the tool the demon is using to beat you down. And you know, that all comes from life experiences. So it would make sense that stuff would be a little bit different, but the end result is still the same.
It is. You know, when you were saying that about not running over roadkill and stuff, like I like loud noises, just from slamming doors, you know, I hate that. I don't like that. I'm better now at being in a crowded room, but I always have to face where I can see the ins and outs and know my exit plan, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I find myself here lately, man, on this deal of wanting to make sure everybody's okay kind of deal. I don't know what's going on there, but it's something I'm working on, which that's okay. It's not bad if we want to know everyone's okay, but we can take it to an extreme, I guess.
Yeah.
So I deal with those kind of things. And for a long time, man, I had to stand my back against the wall. I could not stand for anyone to be behind me. And that was from 9 years in isolation. You know, I was on maximum security. So I was in a 6x9 cell for 9 years. And that will mess with anyone's head. I don't care who you are. And
yeah, it's your body taking tools that it can find to survive, you know. You may not realize it. And that's what I tell everybody about the military. They will give you every single tool you need to survive, from clothes, food, shelter, to emotions. The only emotion you're going to get is anger. And that's what they teach you to use. They want you to fuel that anger towards accomplishing your mission, maxing your PT test, doing your best at shooting, being the top soldier. If you're struggling with something, use anger to get through that. The problem is when you get out and you reach into that toolbox to deal with something, and you're no longer in combat, you're no longer in that military world where they understand that. Now, when you got that old person stopping in the middle of the aisle in front of you, and that you hit that anger button, well, now you're exploding, because the only tool you got to deal with that frustration in your toolbox is anger.
Right.
And your body is going to do the same thing. It's going to create the same type of quickly learned life lessons to survive in its environment.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
How long have you been doing the radio show and things, man?
So the radio station itself started last May. The nonprofit we started building towards the end of last year, more like October-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The author program which is called Words from Warriors. It just started last month. There's a magazine that is coming with that, that the veteran authors will be writers for. And that's also, you know, how we kind of fund some of these projects. You know, unfortunately, it does take money to, to survive. But, you know, that magazine is one of the ways that we fund to build the nonprofit, to do other programs. Our podcasting program was the second one. The radio station was the first one. It's called Gunroom Radio. We have a country station called Semper Fi Country, and we have a rock station called Ranger Rock Wave. And then we have a mix station called Vet Mix. We had a comedy channel, but I'm discontinuing it. It just, I tried to bring the veteran comedians into this fold, but it was really tough, trying to get people to relate to it. So, but the music station is going strong and is still there. The podcasting, which is called Military United Podcast Streams. And, that started, last year as well. And it was, it's designed to help people podcast, stream, tell their stories, and so forth. But along with that, we have created a Roku channel as well. So we have podcasters that are on TV. We have another channel on there called MMTV, Military Music Television. So the people that the veterans that are on our radio station that have created actual music videos, we have put them on there so that it can help highlight them and people can see them if they're not looking for them in YouTube or whatever. And it kind of brings back for people my age, you know, we all loved what MTV used to be, where it was just 24/7 of music videos. So that's what we brought back. I think people are digging it. I think they're really liking it. The radio station does great. The podcasting is growing. The Roku channel is growing. And this author program is starting to take off as well. So I think it's something that is needed. Again, at the end of the day, it's about the veterans and the participants, giving them that option to tell their stories. You know, I know how hard it is to get through the struggles. I just released my first book 3 days ago, it went live. And it was a book that I started to explain to my kids what had happened to me. It was probably one of the toughest things I've had to do. And I felt I owed them that because they were born after I started the military. Okay. And they seen me in their young years as that happy, funny father that was around, to their pubic years, that guy that didn't want to be around his family no more, that was isolating in the bedroom, that didn't talk, was always angry. And I had completely changed. My wife, you know, we've been together since seventh grade. So she kind of had probably knew things were going on with me, but I didn't talk about them. They never got no explanation of what happened. I would come home and life was fine. Nothing happened over there. It was all flowers and daisies. And I never explained that to them, but they seen the changes.
Right.
You know, I mean, for 2 years, my wife didn't even sleep in the same bed with me anymore because she was getting punched and elbowed and me screaming and shit like that. And then when she would ask me what was wrong, I would just tell her a bad dream. And she would ask me what it's about. And I'd tell her, I don't remember. You know, I didn't want, one, I didn't want to deal with this stuff. And two, I didn't want to bring it down into them.
Right. You know?
But what that did is that created that divide. There was no more communication. And so that divide is over the years, it just got bigger and bigger. And I didn't want to sit down in a conversation where people were going to ask me questions and make me evaluate what I'm saying. I wanted to put it on paper so I could tell it my way.
Right.
And let them take in the information. And after I did that, my daughter asked me to publish it. And so that's what I did. I went back through and started writing. It took me about a year and a half to get through all of it. There was a lot of spaces where, as things were getting tough to talk about that I wasn't ready to talk about, I would put it away and stop doing it. And if it wouldn't have been for that group therapy, I probably would have never finished it.
Right.
You know, so I see the program and how important it is. One, you know, when you release that song and you hear it on the radio, man, that's a win. That's a positive that happened in that veteran's life.
Yeah.
You know, that you get that book published again, to see it on Amazon being sold, people reading it and saying, wow, holy cow, that was good. That's a win.
Yeah.
These are small victories that may not mean a lot to a lot of people, but it means a lot to them. And, you know, we want to take this a step further. We're in talks with several organizations. I want to see the VMAs happen. Before I die, I want to see the Veteran Music Awards, where they're sitting in the Ryan Auditorium, and people like George Strait and these other musicians that have made it, that are there, that have served, are hosting it. And we're introducing these guys that are grinding and busting their ass in a new world, dealing with their demons and trying to still get up there, get some notoriety. You know, they may never be the next Garth Brooks, but for that one day they will be. And I think it's important that we don't mix things. I mean, you got the
right.
That's the greatest of all the country music awards. You got the Grammys. That's the greatest of all the actors, regardless of where you came from. And nobody's taking any of that away from them. But it's a small token to give somebody that has put their dreams on hold to serve this country first, that same type of credit and ability to recognize, hey, we see you. You are somebody, you are there, and we're here, we're listening. I think that's important.
I think it's awesome. I love the idea myself, man. I can see it happening. That's what I can see. Especially with today's age, you know, things are not that they're grinding is easy. I don't mean that's easier by no means, but getting it out there, you know, getting things out there, because just like these podcasts, when I started it, you know, it came out of nowhere, man. Again, I was just kind of I was spinning my wheels, man, in mud, kind of like thing. And I believe my wife could see it. You know what I mean? And she's like, maybe you need some change. Maybe you need to change some things. And I thought all of a sudden I thought of this podcast, and I didn't realize how pretty simple it is. And I'm not a technical guy by no means. You know what I mean? And so I've kind of learned as I go. But that's why when I started, I said, one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to edit them. I'm not going to take anything out. What is said is said. And that's what I want it to be, because we need more of that in our world. People need to hear the truth of what's going on, exactly what you guys are doing.
Yep.
Because just like for me, what you're sitting here saying to me, everything you're saying, I'm just taking it back going, man, you know, not thinking that through for you guys, you know, that part of the division in the family, you know, that's something that people on the average day, I'm telling you, they don't think about that, because one, they're not living it. And two, it's just like, yes, you know, most people will say, thank you for your service, you know, but does it go further than that? Do they take the time to really think about you guys, man, and ladies, and what everyone went through, you know? I do, but not as nowhere near as deep as you guys do, but I do it just on a sense of, you know, on one hand, I can relate from being away from your family, you know, my things, you know, we're a lot different than what you guys were going over there, because you love this country and this, that, and the other. I was in trouble. So it's a different thing, but in a way it's kind of the same. And the demons, you know, I wasn't in war, but in a sense I kind of was sometimes, you know, in a way. And that's what we need to do more in this country, man. We need to take a time to stop and think about people and what they got going on.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's another part that people don't think about, right? You could take that thank you for your service, and you could really analyze that, right? If you talk to 100 veterans, 80% of them were going to tell you that's the most awkward thing to be told.
Oh, wow.
The reason why is, one, we don't know how to respond to it. What do you say? Do you say, you're welcome? I'm honored. When the truth is, you're thanking me because I made it back and buddies of mine did not. I'm not the one to be thanked. you know, to be called a hero. But you're here. I'm here. All my limbs, all my legs, you know, I may have had some mental issues, but I'm not fighting the physical and the mental issues that a lot of them are. And so when I'm standing there buying my meal and somebody buys the meal for me, it kind of puts a little bit of guilt on you. And, and by all means, I'm not telling anybody to stop doing it. That's not
right.
That's not the country's problem. That's our problem internally. That's something that we have to work through. But it's tough. But when you start analyzing these types of things, and then you say, okay, well, why are we going to help veterans, give them a leg up in the competition to become full-time singers, right? Well, the truth is we're not. You take somebody that was 18 out of high school and went into the music industry, and you take somebody that wanted to be in the music industry but put that on hold to join the military, and then spent 15, 20 years in the military, and then came back and tried to continue their dreams that they had 15 years ago, and then you put them both in front of a label company, there's no dollar signs in front of that 45-year-old guy now.
Right.
You know, that 18-year-old, when he went in front of that label company, it was a whole career that money could be made off of.
Yeah.
And so it's not, it has nothing to do with fairness. It just has to do with giving people the opportunity to still play out their dreams.
Yeah.
That's it.
And channel them emotions too. Like you say, you know, like I've heard people say a lot of times, like, you know, if someone passed away and you didn't get to say something to them, write a letter to them, even though they're gone. So it's kind of the same thing in a way. You know, I write poems or poetry, whatever you want to call it. And I do that a lot of times. Nobody ever sees them, but I do it because that's a way, you know, I can say what I want to say. And, yep. Man, I'm going to tell you, I love what you're doing. I see big success for you guys. We just got to keep putting it out there and letting everybody know, you know.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, you know as well as I do, it only takes one click to get it clicked the right way. And there you go. And everybody knows about it. And, you know, in this country, we have a problem of worrying about the wrong stuff, you know.
And that we are doing that a lot.
And that what?
I said we are doing that a lot.
Yes. You know, when there's, you know, a lot more bigger problems out there, man. How did you get the radio started? Like, how did you do that? Was it internet radio?
It was internet radio. It's a funny story, actually.
Yeah.
So sometimes my brain starts working before reality. You know, I see this yellow brick road, easy path. I don't see all the pitfalls that come with it. So, you know, like anything else, how many people have said you say something and next thing you know, you see the advertisements for it on Facebook, right?
Yep.
And I was talking about this, and all of a sudden I seen an ad on Facebook that said, start your own radio station, $39.95 a month. Well, fuck, that's easy. $39.95 a month. I'll reach out to these veterans, say, hey, give me your music. I'll put it on the radio. We're going to start a radio station. I didn't know nothing about copyright and laws. You know, I didn't even know that an artist who wrote the song sang the song, but the moment he signed with a copyright company, he no longer even has the right to tell me I can play his music.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's funny because all these musicians, you see them on TikTok singing and everything else, but what you don't see is the email they get after they're done, saying that they're in copyright violation for singing their own song.
Wow, that's unreal.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Because all of these social media companies, because they don't want to pay for licensing, they just mute it. And they call it you're in copyright. So to protect themselves, everything is a copyright. You know, unless you bought a song and you have a license and then you can send that, you know, like Adobe does it. And a bunch of these other companies will sell you unrighted music that you can play. Right. So I ended up partnering with an organization called Operation Encore. And they had been looking for 2 years to find a radio station. that would play an hour of veterans music. That's it. Right. Didn't care what time, 10 o'clock PM Sunday night, still couldn't add commercials to that hour, whatever they wanted to do. And no radio station would do it. So when I got in contact with them, they didn't know, you know, I was just some guy off the street. And so he kind of gave me a bunch of information and kind of figured I would just go away. But what he said stuck in my head that, you know, for 2 years, not one damn radio station would play these guys' music because they didn't think that it would sell.
Wow.
So I paid for the licensing through ASCAP and BMI, and I turned it into a sole proprietary business until we get the nonprofit completely up and running. And that's how it started. I paid the $39.95, and it grew from one channel to three channels. And I fund it myself. I do it all myself. I have volunteers that are willing to DJ that have their own shows. All I ask is that they play the veterans music. They don't turn it into just an hour, 2 hour long talk show that they're actually putting, because that's the point, is to get the music out there.
Right.
And I let people come on, promote themselves, do their own stuff. DJ, the veterans get their music. It doesn't sound like a play, you know, track anymore, where it's just a loop, of a bunch of music. There is some human interaction to it. And, you know, great things has happened, you know, since then. We've had two artists. And again, I don't take no credit for this. I don't want any of your listeners to think that it was because of us. It's because these guys were awesome and they busted their ass. But there's been two veterans that literally have gotten signed by labels.
Awesome. A guy named
Scotty Hastings. He'd been in contact with a label for years before he was our first artist, actually, that gave us his music to play. And you talk about an amazing story. You're talking about a guy that was shot 10 times in Afghanistan. He's got two Purple Hearts, you know, died multiple times on the way to the hospital, and has nerve damage, and was not ever playing guitars or in music. He was a Paralympian doing archery.
Wow.
You know, and COVID hit and the Olympics went away and the demons were back. So he found something else. So he picked up YouTube and bought a cheap ass guitar and started learning to play guitar. And now he's in the recording booth with Dolly Parton doing a duet.
So, no kidding.
Yeah. And another guy, Mike Ponder, same thing. You know, he's now being signed. I can't remember the name of his label. It just happened a week or so ago. And we've had multiple people get picked up by Zach Brown's camp. He has a camp called Camp Southern Ground, and they do what's called Hero Week. It's a songwriting convention, and it's for veterans and people healing. And it may even be first responders. I'm not sure. But they bring them all together out there on that camp, and they have some time together and some time to talk and some time to write music, and they get to play their own music in front of everybody that's part of that. And I think that is awesome. And that's people that may have never even gotten seen because they were competing with everybody on Spotify.
Yeah, we know that fight ourselves and what we're doing. And, you know, there's a thing, man, I found called Podbean. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but if you get on there, man, I get more downloads on there than anything.
Yeah.
So it may help you grow. Also, I think that's awesome, man, that these people are getting signed, because that's the idea, you know.
Yeah.
But I was sitting here thinking, you know, there's probably some who maybe don't want to get signed. They just want to channel their emotions out as well, you know, and have a voice out there. And that's great too. You know, that's awesome too. So I love the idea, man. And Zach Brown, is he a veteran?
He is not. The camp actually came from a time in his life where he was struggling. Mm-hmm. And the only thing he could look forward to was going to camp.
Okay.
So he wanted to give back, and he created this camp, and they take one portion of the year and they block it off for this Hero Week. Is what it's called. But his camp's actually in Georgia. It's called Camp Southern Ground.
Awesome. You know, I'm in the Nashville area, and I get a lot of listeners in this area. So any of you guys out there with labels, man, you need to check this guy's radio station out, man. Give these people, man, you know, I don't know what the word I'm wanting to use, whether deserving or whatever, but the way I see it is if you would, I haven't heard none of it, but I could guarantee you that most of it would be from the heart, real deal music. Yep. And that goes without hearing any of it. And that's what we need, man. That's what we need. We don't have that anymore. You know, I don't know how old you are. I'm 48.
49.
Okay. So when I was a kid, I'm a country music guy. And when I was a kid, songs really touched you, man, and resonated with you. And it was, you know, you really truly felt as if they were singing to you or singing your story. And nowadays, man, they pretty much all sound the same. And, you know, a lot of them don't write their own music. And I'm not down on anyone, you know, they're, who am I? I'm not no talent critic or whatever. I'm just, you know, speaking from my heart, the way I feel about it. And I want real deal stuff, man. That's what I want, because, you know, in this internet age, everything is fake, man. You know, people can be whoever they want to be on the other side of this keyboard, you know, and never show your face. And but what I'm finding that that's the reviews I get from people are, keep telling it raw, just like it is. This is what we need. And it's the same thing with you guys, man. We need, as far as the citizens, not just in America, as you said, but around the world, need to know what the truth is and need to have a true understanding. So just as you said, when someone does say, you know, I'm kind of watch saying it now, thank you for your service, but when that we really feel it, man, you know, and can connect and can connect with you guys.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, I don't want people to stop saying it. It's just something that goes a little bit deeper, you know, and that's just kind of where the veteran's mindset goes. You know, they take something that was generally meant as, you know, something from their heart, and then they start analyzing it as it hits their head, you know, and those are inner demons. Those are things that our community needs to work on. That's one of the things. It doesn't happen by isolating, you know. The other things that we do is, you know, I'm trying to organize some book signings to where all the veterans that are on that author program can meet at one place and do book signings. Book signings is just the reason to get there. The truth is, it's about putting like-minded people together out of their house in the community, talking and being around. I don't really care if anybody sells a single book. The fact that we are all there together and sharing some camaraderie and something that we both enjoyed is meaningful.
Yeah.
And the same thing is going to happen with our podcasting program. I partnered with a organization called Hero Stock. They go around and they put on a festival. This year they're doing it in Nashville. It'll be in Nashville this year. It's called Hero Stock. They book artists from the radio station. And in return, I help them do whatever they need me to do, because they're putting food on some of these artists' table. They're getting them known. They're performing in front of 1,200, 1,500, 2,000 people at a time versus a little bar down the road that six guys are just having a few beers and leaving, you know?
Yeah.
And all of this attraction helps them. So, you know, helping them, helping me is what we do. And they're an amazing organization. Scotty Hastings will be performing there. He's in Nashville. He'll be performing at that Hero Stock in Nashville too. So you should check it out. I'll send you the info.
Yeah, definitely do, man. You got my email and all that. Definitely do. And keep me updated on anything that's going on. Any way I can help you guys, you know, I'll broadcast out as much as I can. So your book, man, how can we find that book?
So you can go to wordsfromwarriors.com. Or wordsfromwarriors.org, sorry. And there you can find all the authors there. And then each author's got their own page. You can click on mine, read about it, see the title and what it's about, and a little bit of bio about myself. And then it's got the links to go out. And you can get it right now. All that's out there right now is you can either get pre-order a signed copy from me or a digital copy on the internet. The printing hasn't been done yet. They're in the middle of print right now, but the print versions will be available hopefully within the next couple of weeks if you just want to order it from Amazon. But you can get it from Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. I mean, just anywhere that you would find books, you can find it. It's called Echoes of War.
Awesome, man. Everybody listening, you know, we all in today's world, we see that, how do I want to word this? That a lot of times our veterans are not done right. I'm going to say it that way. And everything this man is talking about today is a way to help them, all of them. And we should all do that. You know, let's show our thanks that way. Let me say it that way. And
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And show that we appreciate you guys. You know, I don't want to kind of just touch a bad subject or touchy subject, but you know, it has to be very frustrating for you guys to see all the things that go on in this country now. And you know, yeah, when you go over there and sacrifice so much for it to be taken away, you know, that little, just yeah, as the other night in the, whatever you want to call it, the address to the union or whatever. I don't usually watch that stuff, but
yeah, I didn't watch it.
You know, everybody, only thing everybody got from that was they're going to ban TikTok. Completely overshadowed the most important thing that went on in that thing, in my opinion, was the man that got arrested. And no one even talks about it, don't know the whole story about it. Why? Because they're going to ban TikTok. That says a lot about our society to me, man.
Yeah.
Because that man's got a story. You know, he had every right in the world to be up there saying what he said. And you know, it's sad.
When I grew up, you know, we didn't go to church all the time, but when we did go to church, my parents expected a very different type of behavior.
Right.
You know, you were not going to sit there and read books and color and look at your watch or put some headphones in or something like that. You were there for a reason. And anything that you showed that showed you were not interest, I was getting flicked and told to behave and so forth, right?
Right.
And I think that our country can say the same thing about funerals. It would be very disrespectful to be doing that at a funeral. But to stand at the back of an aircraft and have caskets being pulled out, to look at your watch multiple times to see how much more time you have before you have to leave is one of the most ultimate disrespects that you can do. And that withdrawal from Afghanistan, you know, the average American people, they put the blame on Biden, right? Biden wasn't over there. Biden probably couldn't even spell Afghanistan.
Right.
And the problem is our country has created weak leaders. And there's an old saying, you know, strong men create easy times creates weak men create hard times create hard men. I think we see what phase we're in.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I agree completely. I saw something talking about the, how the testosterone levels of men have steadily declined.
And, yeah.
If that don't tell you a lot, but then at the end of the day, we look around and you know, again, I'm not that old, and man, how things have changed,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't know what this country's going to do, you know, at the end of the day. Maybe that has something to do with all the people coming over here. I don't know. I'm just going to say, yeah, because, you know, because the majority of people that come over here are really truly just trying to seek a better life and work, you know, and, you know, just like, okay, I'll say I'm from Nashville. Okay. And so now anytime I meet someone, they either say they're from New York or California. Right. And in Nashville, I don't care where you're going, what time of the day, you're going to run into traffic. And I'm like anyone else, cuss about this, that, and other. Well, I met a young man the other day and I said, where are you from? He said, Los Angeles, California. And I said, what brought you here? And this is what he said to me. He said, because I'm a Christian and I have two little girls. And I was like, hmm? He said, out there, man, if you're a Christian, it's taboo and people think you're weird. And I was like, oh, wow. And then he said, and you think the stuff they're pushing on your kids here is bad. You got to see it out there. And he said, I refuse to let that be pushed on my kids. And so what, yeah, I got from that was I got a humbling experience thinking, you know, at the end of the day, we don't always know the reason people are coming here. You know, and So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're wanting people to wear. I don't think that's what it is. I think they're trying to get votes, but that's a whole nother subject. But it's just everything about it is just off, man. We'll just I'll just say that it just doesn't seem right.
It's definitely a different world.
It is, man. And you know, I love America. I want to say that. You know, I don't love what's going on in America. And I just don't know how to change it. I don't know if we can.
And that's kind of how the veteran community feels, the majority of us. We love our country. Just because we love our country doesn't mean we agree with our government.
No.
You know?
The government's got out of control. And, you know, I'm not a politician. I don't even get into politics, to be honest about it. I can't vote anyway. Yeah. But at the end of the day, all I can say is what we got going on now is not any good. And let's pray that whatever comes next, at least do a little something different. Whoever it is. I remember 4 years ago when things were better. I would say that. But again, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat, man. I'm not any of it. I just want something better.
Yep. You tell everybody I'm politically homeless.
Yeah, exactly, man. I agree with that completely. All right, man. Any more exciting news? Anything else, man, you got coming out?
No, man. That's it. You know, like I said, you can go to Words from Warriors. If you're looking for books, our main website is Heroes Voice Media, heroesvoicemediafoundation.org. You can go there. Our link tree is also there, so you can find links to anything you want. If you want to listen to the radio station, it's just gunroomradio.com. All the links to all the different channels are there, so it's all free. You don't have to have no accounts to sign up. We don't have to have any of your personal information. You can just click on it and listen. So that's it.
It's awesome, man. I'm gonna broadcast it as much as I can. I'm gonna release this episode here shortly, and then I'm gonna release it again just to make sure we get it all out there. And I'll go on yours. I tried to go on your calendar and book a show. I need to do it again. I couldn't find it. Again, I'm kind of computer illiterate, so no problem. I'll go back and try to find it again.
I'll email you a link.
That'll help me out, man. And I'll get signed up. Come on and on your show as well. Again, thank you guys, man. Thank all of you guys.
Thank
and
you.
I hope everything that you do goes to the moon and back, man. And y'all deserve it no matter what. And I know y'all do it in memoriam of your comrades, man. And I think that's awesome. And we all need to do better, man. Meaning us for y'all. And we will.
Everybody, you know, even us in the community, you know.
That's right. All right, my friend. God bless you, man. And I'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you. You guys take care. Man.